Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's one of those things that you see on the news occasionally. There will be protesters outside an abortion clinic. But what if the purpose there is not protest? Of course, it always is a protest of the crime that is taking place inside an abortion facility's walls. But what if the goal there is to persuade, to dissuade those who are entering that clinic? They might not be going there for an abortion. They might be going there anticipating or thinking about an abortion, maybe just for a pregnancy test. That is a good time to exercise some of that persuasion and that dissuasion, redirect them to someone who will not kill their baby. We're going to talk about abortion sidewalk counseling. Brian Westbrook joins us. He's executive director of Coalition for Life based in St. Louis. Brian, welcome to Issues Etc.
It's great to be on the show. Thank you.
What is the goal of abortion facility sidewalk counseling?
So the Coalition for Life has been out in front of the local abortion facility since 2011. And one of our main goals for being out there is just greeting abortion-minded women when they go in to the local Planned Parenthood. It's the very last abortion facility in the state of Missouri. We're out there every single moment and every single day that that abortion facility continues to operate and continues to take the life of these little innocent children. So our job is to be there with those women as they enter those gates, because what we find is that most women believe they have no other choice except for abortion. And so we want to be there to offer them options, offer them choices, so ultimately they have an opportunity to choose life for their children.
What is the St. Louis method of sidewalk counseling?
So the St. Louis method, one of the things we determined back in the day is that early on, right after Roe versus Wade in 1973, there were individuals who would go out to abortion facilities, and they would go out to educate women, educate families on what abortion was. So they did that with graphic images, with different, you know, medical data, these types of things. But what we find today is that most of the people we encounter already know what abortion is. And so one of the things we did through the quote-unquote St. Louis method is by starting exactly where they are. And so we do a lot of what we call A-B splits. So we'll try out, for instance, we have an ugly orange vest, so a reflector vest. So we'll try out orange versus pink, or different colors of vest, different types of signage, those types of things. But first and foremost, it's about having a chance to talk to someone and stopping the car. So one of the things we did is we actually removed almost all pro-life signage and really focused on who's driving the car and what's going to get them to stop and actually talk with us. So one of my favorite signs is just simply check in here. And one of the best pro-life signs I think we've come up with in recent history. And so through that and through a bit of a business perspective and a sales and marketing perspective, we're able to then stop cars, talk to individuals and ask them to leave immediately without even really talking about abortion at all, but instead offering help, assistance, and an opportunity to choose life.
So what kind of information do you provide for the women who are arriving there at abortion facilities?
So the first thing we do is we talk about the immediate needs that they have. And most of the women are going to an abortion facility because they miss a period. They may have taken a pregnancy test at home, but they're going to a Planned Parenthood to just make sure. And so most likely, they're going to need a pregnancy test, a medical-grade pregnancy test. So those can be done at a local pregnancy center. And then once they get the pregnancy test, then they can get an ultrasound. Now, there's a beautiful, wonderful story after story of women who have gone in and went to a pregnancy center for a simple pregnancy test and then had a chance to see a picture of their baby with a beating heartbeat on the wonderful technology of ultrasound, and at that moment in time, changed their heart and changed their mind. And that baby is saved because of the beautiful technology of ultrasound. And so they're going to need a pregnancy test and ultrasound before they get an abortion. And so why not get those services over at a pregnancy center instead? And so that's one of the things we talk about, is that you're going to need these services anyways if you're going to go through with an abortion. Might as well get them done over at this nearby pregnancy center. And so we're so blessed to be able to do that first. And then beyond that, they get options coaching, which is phenomenal. They get additional rent payments, car payments, phone payments, all the different support that they need. But we need to start real simple, talking about their options and showing them a picture of their baby.
So you are ultimately attempting to redirect these women from the abortion facility to a crisis pregnancy center by offering them this information.
Yes, absolutely. So one of the things we determined long ago is that the idea of quote-unquote sidewalk counseling, in the past, it was really necessary. You had to counsel people in front of these abortion facilities. You had nowhere else to go. And now there are thousands of pregnancy centers around the entire nation. In fact, we started one of our own called Women's Care Connect. But those pregnancy centers are a lifeline for these women going in. And so our goal is to redirect them immediately to a pregnancy resource center. Sometimes we don't really get too much information from them, but the moment they say, yeah, I might be interested in that, then we're able to connect them with a pregnancy center. And then our team then follows up on a weekly basis with them, or more often if necessary, all the way through that pregnancy and beyond.
How did you find out about the secretly built Planned Parenthood facility in Fairview Heights, Illinois?
The Planned Parenthood in Fairview Heights, Illinois, where they announce they're going to take the lives of 11,000 children in 1 year alone. That's their goal, to take 11,000 children's lives in the first year. I found out about Planned Parenthood's abortion facility similar to everybody else. I found out maybe an hour or so before a few other individuals, but for the most part, they did a very good job of keeping it secret, not telling any of the government agencies over there, and they created a shell company, an LLC shell company, that they did all of the work through there. In fact, we know several people who are pro-life contractors who did work in that building and helped prepare the abortion facility, and then last minute they announced publicly. One of the cool stories I like is that the fencing contractor was a pro-life guy, and when they announced publicly, he walked off the job. And so when we showed up a couple days later, it was only half of the fence was finished, and it just stopped. So that really does say something about the power of walking off the job when our convictions move us to. And so that happened back in October of 2019, and so we took a few weeks of prayer, and we decided we would expand our ministry, not just in St. Louis, Missouri, but over in Fairview Heights, Illinois, just our brothers and sisters across the river. We've been out there since day one that they've opened, every single day that place has opened.
So in that vein, why is it important that you have a sidewalk counselor in place at the abortion facility during all their business hours?
So one of the things we talked about earlier is that sometimes a woman is going there for a pregnancy test. Well, abortion facility will do those at any time, and so it's critically important that we're there every single hour that Planned Parenthood or any abortion facility is open. Because if we don't, basically what we're doing, if we decide that this is just some other issue that we can talk about at some other time, if we don't take this seriously, Planned Parenthood or any abortion provider can hang up a sign saying, open with the blessing of the Christian community. If we really believe that abortion takes the life of an innocent human being made in the image and likeness of God, then why aren't we out there, right? It's critically important. So that's one of the things we made a commitment several years ago, that just because they quote-unquote aren't doing abortions at that specific moment doesn't mean that we can't save lives. And we've had Tuesday afternoon at 6:30 in the evening, we'll get a woman going in there thinking she could get an abortion at that moment, and we turn her around and have an opportunity to walk her through her choice for life. So they're going there at any time during the day, not just during the quote-unquote scheduled abortion hours.
Brian Westbrook is our guest. He's executive director of Coalition for Life based in St. Louis. We're talking about abortion sidewalk counseling. The 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference features Robert George, Albert Moeller, Mark and Molly Hemingway, Will Wheaton, Brian Wolfmiller, and Hans Feeney. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, June 12th and Saturday, June 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Early bird registration is before April 1st. It's $135 and includes three meals. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The one and only 2020 Issues Etc. Making the Case conference June 12th and 13th in Chicago. When we come back, Brian will describe a typical day of abortion facility sidewalk counseling. To get a taste of love, you can call it what you like. I call it life. I call it life. I prayed for things nobody. Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Hi folks, this is Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Join us for the March on the Arch, Saturday, March 7, a pro-life event for you to confess your belief that life is a sacred thing. Check-in begins at 11 a.m. and a rally at 12:30, and then marching from the West End at Planned Parenthood to the Arch in St. Louis. Check out lcms.org/marchforlife, lcms.org/marchforlife.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about abortion sidewalk counseling with Brian Westbrook, Executive Director of Coalition for Life. In about 10 minutes, Wesley Smith will join us to discuss three issues: non-human rights in New York, transhumanism, and religious persecution in China. Then Jennifer Popick, Director of Federal Legislation for National Right to Life, will join us to discuss two issues: late-term abortion bills in the U.S. Senate. They just failed to get a vote on them, and federal appeals court ruling on federal funding for abortion. Brian, if you would, describe a typical day of abortion facility sidewalk counseling.
Oh, we have such a great time. It's hard work. It really is. But one of the things, we have 32 people on our team right now. I never would have thought that we would grow so quickly. But one of the main aspects is our Life Choice Intern Program. So these are mostly college students, recent college grads. So instead of working at Starbucks or McDonald's, they come and work for us through our ministry. And so they arrive. We actually collaborate with a few nuns who live right next door. These sisters have an adoration chapel, a prayer chapel there. They are able to provide prayer and hospitality for us and also storage. So we'll show up around 7:45 each morning. We'll go back to the garage. We'll pick up our signs. We'll arrive right across the street at the abortion facility. And the first thing we do is we spend 5 minutes in prayer, praying over the importance of the work that's going to happen here at that abortion facility. And so we know that God is going before us. And so we know that this is a spiritual battle more than any physical battle here. So we're just so blessed to be able to start in prayer. And then beyond that, we have one individual who will throw on a reflector vest. There's a couple of reasons for that. Number one, we can be seen better. Also, we're dealing with traffic, people in cars, so we don't want to get hit by a car. So that's there's some safety reasons. And also, it sets us apart as being the one person we want them to talk to as they drive in. That second person is going to, like I said before, that we do statistical data to tell us how many people are stopping, how often they are taking literature, and how many people are actually leaving. And this will give us an idea of how often our methods and strategies are working. And then as time goes on, we just kind of hone those and change those. And so we'll throw a vest on, and then we're going to wave and smile at every single person who comes in with a loving, charitable, Christian smile. And then we offer them a pamphlet or a brochure, and then ask them what we can help them with today, including a pregnancy test, ultrasound, or even an STD test as well.
So how do women going into the abortion facilities react generally to your presence?
There's a lot of mixed reactions. If they stop, then it's normally a very positive interchange with them. So if you think of sidewalk counseling, if you think of doing pro-life work in front of an abortion facility, many people think that it's this nasty, ugly, whatever thing. But in reality, it's about presenting options and presenting love. So if they don't leave right away, if they don't decide to choose life and leave, they're always grateful to have that extra piece of information, that extra hope that they otherwise didn't have. Now, all of a sudden, you know, there are those other individuals. We have employees and delivery drivers and those who are very determined to go in to get an abortion. You know, sometimes, you know, they flick us off, they yell at us, they scream at us. But one of the things I know is that in the Bible it talks about not if you are persecuted, but when you are persecuted. So we get a little bit of persecution, but for those that this stop, we get a very positive reaction from our interaction with them.
Do you interact with the employees of abortion facilities at all?
Yeah, we interact with the Planned Parenthood employees as much as humanly possible. And you may have heard about the Abby Johnson story. Abby was in College Station, Texas at the birthplace of the 40 Days for Life campaign. And the Coalition for Life down in Texas was able to interact with Abby Johnson and all other employees there. It's normally fairly simple. Hi, good to see you. Good morning. Drive safely. Very simple, cordial communication with them. But every once in a while, you get an individual who wants to learn more. And so we have little cards, and we also have a sign connecting them to Abby Johnson's ministry, abortionworker.com. And so we have an opportunity every single morning to talk with them and offer them hope, offer them healing. Now, one of my favorite interactions with a Planned Parenthood employee was Paula Giannini several years back, and I mentioned the check-in here sign, and we had such a great time. So she drove in and actually stopped in the driveway and quote-unquote checked in with me and says, what are you doing with this sign? I don't really like this sign. I said, Paula, people have been checking in here all morning long. She got frustrated and drove in. But for the most part, they're being told not to talk with us. So if we have an opportunity to talk with them, we'll take it at every moment. And then I think offer them love and offer them hope to leave their job.
I had recently interviewed Abby Johnson. You mentioned her name. And if I recall correctly, when she was kind of going through the crisis of conscience that she had after participating in an abortion as one of the administrators there, she actually hooked up with people from the Coalition for Life, didn't she?
Right. So his name is Sean Carney. He now leads the national and now international 40 Days for Life campaign. But the Coalition for Life in College Station, Texas, where Abby Johnson worked and did an ultrasound-assisted abortion, at that moment, she went right next door to the Coalition for Life. And we collaborate directly with this group down in College Station, Texas. We model almost everything that we do based on a lot of the things that they do. So the story that you see in the Unplanned movie, and Abby Johnson's story, is playing out one abortion facility at a time, one abortion worker at a time, are leaving and reaching out to those people who they despise the most, those people who are standing peacefully and praying for them on the sidewalk, that's where they're finding hope, and that's where an abortion worker is going to reach out, most likely to the first person that they have an opportunity to talk to, and those people who are standing peacefully and prayerfully right outside their business.
What have you learned about the circumstances facing women that bring them to the door of an abortion facility?
So one of the things we find over and over and over again is that it's mostly an economic challenge for them. They are poor, they don't have housing, their boyfriend left them, their car payment is due, and they really need to make a car payment. So we find that the economics is a really simple and straightforward solution. Sometimes my dad or some advisors say, you know, money doesn't solve everything, but it sure helps, right? So many of these women going to the abortion facility feel very helpless because they're one rent payment away from being kicked out of their apartment. They're one car payment away from their car being towed away. And so many of these women already have other children as well. And so they're looking for a way out. So that's the majority of women going to the abortion facility. But then there's another group who are going because of a terrible relationship, a boyfriend who is abusive. We had one client who their boyfriend set their car on fire because they were making a decision to choose life. And so we had to immediately remove them from that situation into a crisis home. And then there's this last subsection that are doing it for educational reasons, or they may be in a middle class or upper class family who are doing this abortion because they want to go to college, because of all these other things, who are quote unquote Christians who want to be the good girl, but they made some mistakes. We see across the country where schools are actually inadvertently promoting abortion by saying that you can't cooperate or participate in events if you're pregnant, and also in high school. And so we have all different types of individuals who are coming, but what unifies all of them is that they don't have the support that they need. And so almost everyone who goes to get an abortion is there because they believe they have absolutely no other choice. This is the last option, and they feel very alone and isolated. We see in our culture today so many individuals who are more connected to so many people than ever before, but today we feel so isolated, and it's that isolation that drives them to abortion.
How do you respond to someone who says, look, I simply lack the courage to do what you guys do, to be an abortion sidewalk counselor?
I say, go do it. Sometimes we get our courage from the Holy Spirit. We get the courage not from ourselves, but from the Holy Spirit who's going to work through us. So first and foremost, pray. But sometimes sidewalk counseling is not suited for everyone. I'm actually personally more of an introverted individual, but God has this funny sense of humor that he's going to put me in this role to be leading an organization, being on radio interviews, and going out to an abortion facility and talking to individuals. So I would be the first one to say I didn't have the courage. I didn't want to go out there. I didn't think that it was something that fit me very well. But God had a different story. And so I'd invite you, the listeners today, to really pray about going out and just simply standing for a moment. One of the things I say is that abortion doesn't happen in the White House, the Supreme Court, or the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. Abortions happen in our neighborhoods right here. And if we don't go to where abortion happens, we don't really get an opportunity to experience it and then live our pro-life belief systems out in our daily lives. So go experience it and hook up with a local 40 Days for Life campaign or a local Coalition for Life group. I'm sure they'll be able to help walk you through it.
How do you deal with the ups and downs of abortion sidewalk counseling?
Well, one of the things we do, so the ups and downs are every single day we have opportunities to reach out to women, but we're also having opportunities to be persecuted while we're out there. Actually, one of the more difficult times during sidewalk counseling are those slow days where there's not a lot of traffic. And then you get one woman who drives in determined to get an abortion. And then you have to spend a good 10, 15, 20 minutes or more with this client out in front of the abortion facility. And so one of the things we do is after a long experience like that, number one, we keep our shifts short. So 3 hours is about the max for a shift out there. Normal working hours are 8 hours, but, you know, it's about three. And then beyond that, we have a community of supporters. So we have 15,000 supporters and volunteers who help us along the way. We have all of those individuals praying and fasting for our efforts. In addition to that, our staff of 32, on a weekly basis, we're always praying for each other and praying for the success of the efforts on the sidewalk. And then on a twice a month, we have a spiritual director who comes in and meets with each individual staff member, walks through those that spiritual battle as well. And then, honestly, we just have an open-door policy. So I myself go out to the sidewalk along with everyone else on our team, and we unify as a team to be able to fight this both physical battle and also this spiritual and emotional battle to ultimately see an end to abortion around our great land.
Finally, then, you've mentioned this several times, but tell us about two upcoming events, 40 Days for Life and the March on the Arch.
The 40 Days for Life is incredible. This is now our 23rd 40 Days for Life campaign. Very simply, it's 40 days of prayer and fasting, peaceful vigil, and grassroots community outreach to bring an end to abortion in the local community. It started down in College Station, Texas. It's now blossomed to be at 300 or 400 different sites around the entire world. And so if you look it up, 40daysforlife.com, you can see in your local community opportunity starting tomorrow, February 26th, all the way to April 5th, 40 days of prayer and fasting for an end to abortion. We've seen abortion workers leave. We've seen thousands of babies saved. And we've seen communities changed so that ultimately these abortion facilities will close down when the Christian community says, no more, we're done. And so that's what 40 Days for Life is, and so we're very excited to continue that as well. March on the Arch is going to be on March 7th here in the St. Louis area. That'll start with a rally at 12:30 and an event, a march from the last remaining abortion facility, Planned Parenthood on Forest Park Avenue, all the way down to the Arch grounds, a nice 3.5-mile walk. But that'll be a serious commitment to show the community that we want to be the very first abortion-free state in the nation. So we'll see probably over 1,000 people for that event. So you'll be able to register for that at stlmarch.com, stlmarch.com. Those are two events, 40 Days for Life and the March on the Arch. You can learn all about this and others at coalitionforlifestl.com.
Find out more about 40 Days for Life, the March on the Arch, and the Coalition for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Brian Westbrook is Executive Director of Coalition for Life based in St. Louis. Brian, thank you very much. Keep up the good work.
Thank you very much.
Wesley Smith is with us on the other side of the break to discuss three issues: non-human rights in New York, transhumanism, and religious persecution in China. We'll start out finding out what this non-human rights project is all about. Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $135 to Issues Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship, or you can make a $135 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we'll study, My Kingdom is Not of This World. Behold the man! We have no king but Caesar. It is finished, and not one of his bones will be broken. Join me, Pastor Will Whedon, as we continue our walk through St. John's Gospel on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.